The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We sing our opening hymn. Please stand. The Lord, who is the rock of our salvation, invites his people to listen. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. We confess that we have not listened to the Lord. We have instead listened to our itching ears, want to hear, and have shut our ears to the truth of your word. The Lord invites his people to look. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, to Abraham and to Sarah. We confess that we have not always looked to the Lord for our provision, hope, and guidance. We have looked for and to other things of this world that have led us astray, through which our worship and prayers have faltered. The Lord invites his people to give attention to me, my people, give ear to me, my nation. We confess that we have become distracted in our earthly pilgrimage. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Upon this, your confession, as a commissioned servant of the word, I announce to you the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, the rock on whom our confession is made, our hope is built, and our eternal victory won, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We sing the fourth verse of Blessed Jesus at Your Word.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son, Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ and steadfastly walk in the ways that lead to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as the first two lessons are read.
Good morning. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 51, 1 through 6. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion, he comforts all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord.
The psalm appointed for this Sunday is Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called you, you answered me. My strength of my soul you increased. All of the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord. For they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his promise for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
The epistle reading comes from Romans 11, 33 and 12, 8. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him all are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving the one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the sermon hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of this summer, our readings have been talking about and describing the kingdom of God. Matthew relates how Jesus describes this kingdom in several different ways, relating parables that Jesus tells. Jesus told a parable about the farmer who plants seeds into different soils, and the seeds grow in some and not so well in others. And he compares it to a field of wheat that has weeds that begin to grow in it. Matthew describes Jesus' parable that talks about a man who finds a treasure in a field, and he sells everything that he has to buy that treasure. And in another parable, Jesus describes the kingdom of God as being like a pearl that a merchant finds and sells everything else that he has to buy that one pearl so that he can have just it. He's talking about the church today. This is the kingdom of God in which we live. The problem is when we look at the church today, in America at least, we see that church struggling. We see that church declining in size and numbers of people. We hear a lot about congregations who downsize and are dwelling, decreasing and aging in the process. None of the major denominations are growing at this time and haven't been for several years. Even the most successful churches in the last 50 years are once again declining. You remember Robert Schuller, perhaps, who had a TV program called The Hour of Power that was the bane of many Lutheran pastors who complained that their people listened to him rather than having them come to church. Schuller started that congregation in 1955 by renting a movie theater, an outdoor drive-in theater. 26 years later, he built what they called the Crystal Cathedral. It was composed of about 10,000 different panes of glass and looked like a crystal from the distance. At their best times, they worshiped tens of thousands of people on every Sunday. The church itself could seat 2,700 people. Fast forward that congregation another 30 years to 2010, and the Hour of Power and Robert Schuller filed for bankruptcy. Today they worship in a much smaller facility, and the Schuller family name is not any longer associated with that ministry at all. So you might say, what do our texts today have to do with the Hour of Power and the Crystal Cathedral and the church in general? If we look at the gospel lesson, Jesus tells Peter that he will build a church against which the gates of hell will not prevail. Matthew is the only gospel writer who uses the term that we today translate as church. The Greek word is ecclesia, which forms the word ecclesiastical, but he's the only one who uses that word in the New Testament. That word ecclesia, or church, means to be summoned or called as an assembly, which is what we as a church are, is called by God. In the Old Testament for today, Isaiah spoke to the church of his time. At the time, that church was the Jewish nation. Things were not going so well for them either. They longed to be back in Jerusalem. They were in exile in Babylon and had been for many years. They wanted to go home to Jerusalem. They wanted to worship again in the temple where they felt God actually lived. And Isaiah, actually God through Isaiah, seeks to comfort his dejected and homesick people through Isaiah's words in today's text. In that text, God promises that he will again reveal his glory, that even though they're being punished for their iniquity, he still has a promised salvation coming for them. God promises that he will send the long-awaited Messiah to save them in that process of encouraging them. So you say, well, okay, that's all well and good, but that happened a long, long time ago. What about us here today at Emmanuel? We're not in exile. We're not being punished. We've not succumbed to worshiping idols like the children of Israel did. We're just plain, ordinary, simple, sinful, and broken Christians. And we struggle every day to follow God's teachings. We struggle to seek his righteousness in the midst of an ever more secular world. And we face the same struggles and challenges as other Christian congregations in America. So what does this text have to say to us? Is there any comfort for us in these texts? It seems to me, as I look at these texts, there are three points that we might want to keep in mind as Isaiah speaks to the people in exile, but he also speaks to us because he's talking to people who are seeking God. They're seeking his righteousness, and that's what we are doing. And so the first three verses in Isaiah read like this. And think of God speaking to you, to me, as I read this. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he, Abraham, was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion and makes her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, and thanksgiving in the voice of song. Isaiah speaks to us. He says, listen, people of Emmanuel, you who are here pursuing righteousness, who seek God, consider your Christian heritage all the way back to Abraham. You all remember the story of Abraham. God had promised him at some point that he would be the father of a great nation. But when that didn't happen, then he and Sarah took matters into their own hands. And Abraham took Hagar to be his wife, and Ishmael was born. But that wasn't what God had in mind. And so at 99, Abraham and Sarah are told that next year at this time you will have a child. And Sarah laughs. What a joke. How funny is that? I'm 100 years old. How can I have a child? But yet the next year she had a child. And they named that baby Isaac. That name means to laugh, as Sarah did. And then came Jacob. And then came the entire nation of Israel from that one couple, from that one man, Abraham. If God is able to do that, make a great nation from one barren couple, from Abraham and Sarah, who were nothing more than Bedouin shepherds out in the middle of the desert, then Isaiah says he can revive Zion to a joyful new Eden. If God can cause all that to happen, he can surely deal with the issues that the church today in America faces, and with the issues that we face here in this congregation. The second point from Isaiah is found in verses 4 through 6. Give attention to me, people of Emmanuel, and give your ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, My salvation has gone out, and my outstretched arms will judge the people. For my strength, they will lift up their eyes to heaven. Look up to heaven, he says. Look at the earth below. The earth will wear out like a garment. The skies will disappear like smoke. And they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation, God says, will last forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Listen up, Isaiah says, God's mercy and justice are coming. God is in charge of the nations. The world is going to wait for God. The world will desire his coming salvation. Notice the many possessives there, the my word used five times in referring to God's strength and power in which we place our faith. And then in verse 6 he says, look at the heavens, they're going to disappear like smoke. Look at the earth, it's going to wear out like a garment. But my saving grace, the grace of my servant, Jesus, will last forever. And the third point comes from verses 7 and 8. Isaiah speaks again to us. Listen to me, people of Emmanuel. You know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their reviling. For the mouth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like a wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation for all generations. Listen now, all you who believe, you who follow my teachings, Emmanuel. Listen, people of Emmanuel, who have my spirit within you. Pay no attention to the insults. Don't let people mock or intimidate you or get you down. Those insults and that ridicule are old and full of holes, and they will ultimately mean nothing. But God says his righteousness and his sanctification and his justification will last forever. The way I will set things right, Jesus says, the way I will rule will last forever. My salvation will be for all generations, even those of the 21st century, those generations in Albany. Our problem tends to be that we don't really believe or fully accept what God is saying to us here today. We wonder if these words are really true for us here in Albany. Too often we are like the disciples whom Jesus spoke on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. He was talking to them and they just didn't understand what had happened. And he says, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. We are the foolish ones. We tend not to believe in our heart what is written in the Bible. But today we hear the comforting words of Isaiah. We need to keep his words in mind as we consider the state of the Christian church in America, as we consider the state of this congregation, as we consider our individual lives. May we be quick of heart to believe. May we study and understand the Bible and all that it teaches. Let us have faith and be uplifted, knowing that God is in control. God is in control of the bride of Christ, his church on earth. He's in control of this congregation. He's in control of us individually. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The offering is received. Thank you. Please stand for the prayers of the church. We pray for all people in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of the church, Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against your church on earth." We pray that you would continue to guard and protect your Christian church on earth and cause it to flourish and grow that many souls may be saved. We ask your guiding hand to be upon this and all Christian congregations as they live in the world but are not of the world. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, from you and through you and to you are all things. You have built your church on the confession of the gospel and have promised that the gates of hell will not overcome it. To your church throughout the world, together and united as one body, grant the faith and courage to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, wherever people are oppressed or denied their dignity, wherever your people are straying from your word and will, whenever we fail to use the gifts you have placed within us, whenever we allow the distractions of this world to blind us to your mercy and power and glory, wherever people are in mourning or ill health, without food or shelter, or with any other distress, we call out to you for mercy and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, God of the environment, we pray your blessings upon the people of Texas who suffer from flooding and from wind and from damage to their property. We ask that you would comfort them and bless them during this difficult time. Bring them together. May their faith in you be strengthened. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, grant to your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. You have called us to be witnesses that in Christ you have reconciled us to yourself. Grant that by your Holy Spirit we may proclaim the good news of your salvation, so that all who hear it may receive the gift of that salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, as we approach the beginning of a new school year, we pray for students, for teachers and administrators. Grant students a willingness to learn, teachers dedication to their work, and administrators wisdom in leading their schools. We pray especially for our adult Sunday school, that it may be a time of study and gaining knowledge of your word to the edification of its members. Lord, in your mercy. Healing Lord Jesus, we ask you to strengthen and preserve all who call out to you with illnesses or disabilities, in sorrow and mourning, in isolation and fear. We pray for your healing powers to be upon Hazel, Paula, Dan, Dolores, Jerry, Audrey, Sherry, Piper, and Norm. And we pray your presence with those who cannot be with us today, Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Audrey, Fred, Denny, Karen, and Marion. Surround each of these with caring circles of families and friends. Strengthen them in their weakness and bless them with your healing presence. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for these things, O Lord, and whatsoever else we should have asked of you, so grant us by your mercy, O God. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord, who shows and reveals himself as the God of comfort, bless you and keep you. May the Lord, who has sought us out and adopted us as his redeemed children, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord, who has promised my salvation will be forever and my righteousness will never be dismayed, look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. If there are announcements, please come forward. I have a couple. Please take note of the announcement of the Reformation service. That's going to be held the 29th of October over at Zion in Albany. It will be a service of the churches of Circuit 4, which we are part of. So begin thinking about that, putting that on your calendar. I believe it's at 3 in the afternoon. Yes, 3 in the afternoon. The pastors of the of this circuit will be participating, as well as members of the congregations. Karen is not here this morning, but you should know that she's been doing a lot of rearranging downstairs in the, I guess it's called the old library. She's organized the books into sections, and one of the things that she has come across is that we have a ton of the old blue hymnals. If you'd like to have one, please let her or me know. We will get you one or two or 10 or however many you would like to take away, because they're not of any value. We have contacted the district, and the district has said, we have tons of them already. We don't need any more. So if you'd like one of the those old blue hymnals or one of the old red hymnals, the one you probably remember growing up with, the page 5 and 15 hymnal, we have a lot of those as well. And finally, next week, Ann and I are going back to South Dakota to visit my mother-in-law, Ann's mother, who is going to be 100 a week from yesterday, next Saturday. She's not doing well, and so we're hoping that she makes it at least long enough for us to get back to see her before she passes. And she may live on, we don't know. We just know she's not doing as well as we'd like. Next week, then, Jim is going to be doing adult Bible school, and so I expect there will be 30 or 40 people there to hear what Jim has to say, and probably 100 or so of you to hear Deacon Dave Dibwad, who will be preaching the service next Sunday. Deacon Dave was here a little over 3 years ago, and you may remember he's the one who did the Sunday school lesson on numbers in the Bible. He said he started out with 1, and he was planning on making it to 40, and he got to 4. So maybe he'll finish that during the service. Jim. Thank you. We place ourselves in God's hands. Other announcements? If not, we sing the closing hymn. Go in peace, serve the Lord.